O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds this morning be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. They were grumbling again. The Pharisees, the scribes, the gatekeepers of orthodoxy, the guardians of what's acceptable. They muttered under their breath, their robes rustling with suspicion as they whispered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And it wasn't just theological discomfort, it was fear of disruption. Jesus wasn't behaving like a rabbi should. He wasn't filtering his dinner guests or curating his inner circle, no. He was laughing with the wrong people, reclining beside tax collectors, breaking bread with women who had been denied standing by society, letting the unwashed and the unwanted get too close, and it made the respectable folk nervous. But Jesus wasn't nervous. He told them a story, or two really, about something lost and someone who went looking. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. He starts with a shepherd. Now, to our modern ears, that sounds quaint, like something painted on a nursery wall. But in the ancient world, shepherds were the working poor, nomadic laborers scorned by the pious elite, considered ritually unclean and socially unimportant. And so right away, Jesus isn't just offering a metaphor, he's subverting expectations. He's saying God is like that, like a dusty, calloused, field-worn shepherd who risks the 99 to go find the one. Which is kind of crazy, right? What shepherd in their right mind does that? Who walks away from a flock of 99 in the wilderness to chase after a single stray? It's not smart, it's not strategic, it's not efficient, but it is love. And it's reckless, it offends our sense of fairness, it messes with our math. And it's the way that God loves. Illogical, extravagant, wholly unconcerned with metrics, because in the kingdom that Jesus proclaims, the one who is lost is never just a number. They're known, missed, searched for. And maybe that's good news. Maybe it's the good news for those of us who know what it feels like to be lost. Not in the obvious, headline-worthy ways, not always with a dramatic prodigal story to tell. Sometimes you just wake up one day and realize you're tired, numb. The joy got thin, like a threadbare blanket in winter. The light dimmed, the silence settled in. You kept showing up, kept working, kept smiling, but part of you drifted. Maybe nobody else noticed. Maybe they still think you're part of the 99, but inside, you feel misplaced, unheld, invisible. I've been there, I've smiled through it. I've known what it's like to stand in a room and still feel missing. And I know how easy it is to go unnoticed when you're quietly unraveling. This world knows how to lose people. It loses the elderly in nursing homes, with empty mailboxes and silent phones. It loses black men to a criminal justice system built on structural sin. It loses immigrants in border camps while politicians debate their worth. It loses queer youth in homes that call rejection faith. It loses working class families under the weight of a system that calls them expendable. And we call it normal, we call it policy, we call it market forces, we let the algorithm forget them, we scroll right past. But Jesus calls it lost. And that word lost is not a condemnation. It's a cry of compassion. A declaration that this is not how it's supposed to be. That every single soul still matters, that nothing, no status, no stigma, no silence, can erase the sacred imprint of the one who formed us in love. And then Jesus doubles down, and he tells another story. A woman with 10 silver coins, she loses one. And now she's flipping furniture, sweeping, lighting a lamp, and turning the house upside down. Can you picture her? This isn't some idle hobby. This is survival. That coin may have been part of her dowry, her security, her future, her dignity. Losing it was no small thing, so she doesn't shrug and say, well, at least I still have 9. No, she lights the lamp, she sweeps the floor, she searches carefully until she finds it. Because there's no giving up in the economy of grace. When something is precious, you don't stop looking. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors. Rejoice with me, she says. I found what I lost. And Jesus says, that's what heaven is like. That's what makes angels sing, not sanitized religion, not pristine doctrine, not perfection, but recovery, restoration, return. The gospel isn't about the good getting better. It's about the missing being found. And God isn't sitting on some celestial throne with folded arms waiting for you to come crawling back in shame. No, God's on the move. God is searching in the shadows, sweeping the corners, showing up in the broken places we thought were beyond redemption. And that's what Jesus is saying. That the Holy One of Israel is a shepherd who leaves the 99. That the creator of the cosmos is a woman who refuses to give up. That God is looking for you. And not just you individually. God is looking for all the ones we've given up on. All the ones our systems have discarded. All the people we've stopped counting, stopped seeing, stopped searching for. And so we have to ask the question, who have we lost? Not just metaphorically, but in the daily practice of our lives. Who's missing at our tables, in our neighborhoods, in our pews? Whose absence have we normalized? Maybe it's the single mom who stopped coming to worship, not because she lost her faith, but because her car broke down and no one noticed she was gone. Maybe it's the church volunteer who used to sign up for everything but stopped quietly when grief swallowed her energy. And no one asked why. Maybe it's the caregiver exhausted, stretched thin, who never made it onto a meal train because they never said anything out loud. Maybe it's the older man who always sat in the back pew but whose phone hasn't rung in months. Maybe it's the college student we sent off with hugs and prayers but then never followed up with. Not because we don't care, but because life moves fast. And silence feels safer than awkwardness. And sometimes absence becomes too easy. And yet Jesus calls that lost. Not failed, not forgotten, just missing. And missing people still matter. We love the image of the shepherd rejoicing over the found sheep, but are we willing to follow that shepherd into the wilderness? We love the story of the woman celebrating with her neighbors, but are we willing to do the messy, exhausting work of sweeping the floors of this broken world? Are we willing to leave the comfort of the 99? Or are we still calculating what's worth it? Because Jesus doesn't tally worthiness like a ledger. He moves like love does, uninvited, uncontainable, unconcerned with permission. He searches and he invites us to join the search party, to to go out of our way for people who've been pushed out of the way, to give our time, our energy, our prayers, and our presence to those this world calls unworthy. This isn't abstract. It's a call to action. That if we claim to follow the shepherd, we cannot remain safely in the pen. If we worship the God who sweeps the house, we cannot ignore the dirt that's under our feet. So how do we join the search party? Maybe it starts with one act of inconvenience. Not because we're trying to prove our virtue, but because we know what it's like to feel unseen. It could be inviting someone to dinner who's usually overlooked. It could be showing up to a town hall forum. Helping a neighbor fill out confusing paperwork. Visiting someone that we've forgotten. Faith with legs looks a lot like love in motion. There's a searching love pulsing through the heart of God, a love that does not stop, a love that refuses to forget, a love that defies every cultural narrative that says you're only valuable if you're visible, only loved if you're useful, only worthy if you belong to the 99. No, this love searches for the one. Not because the 99 don't matter, but because the one is missing. And missing things matter. Missing people matter. You matter. And when you're found, not fixed, not perfected, just found, heaven throws a party. No prerequisites, no doctrinal litmus test, no spiritual resume, no cleanup required, just celebration. And can you imagine being that kind of church? A place where joy erupts not over moral achievement, but over sacred recovery. A community that doesn't just welcome the lost, but goes looking. And don't we need that kind of church right now? Don't we need that kind of joy in a world full of loss? The music of heaven interrupting the monotony of despair? Because a shepherd is still searching. A woman is still sweeping. And heaven is ready to rejoice. What is lost can still be found. Amen.